Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 12th of September, Anno Domini 2015. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose. Nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues.
Happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you. We all have birthdays this month. I'm wearing the t-shirt that my favorite sister-in-law in the whole world sent me.
Wait a minute. Isn't that the only one you have?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. I just want to.
Yes.
She's also your least favorite.
No.
You don't. She's up a little north of Phoenix, so.
People listening online.
She could be.
You'd never say never.
Yes, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning there. She could be listening. All right, nothing much happened this week, really. Pretty quiet all around, don't you think?
Pretty much.
There was the Excellus thing. I can't think of anything.
Well, the company is local, but was the breach local? Who knows?
We don't. Nobody knows yet.
Yeah.
Apple announced like a zillion products.
That you can't get yet.
Right. Much of what we saw builds on the developer rollouts they made back in June. The biggest is the new version of the operating system for the iPhone and iPad, iOS 9, which has been in public beta since July and brings with it improved battery life, public transit information, improved search through Spotlight and Siri, and an improved keyboard. iOS 9 also buffs up supporting iPads with a side-by-side view, picture-in-picture video, an app shortcut bar, and two-finger cursor control while editing text. Both the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus use the same body design as their predecessors, becoming a new rose gold aluminum finish. The aluminum is a new alloy, and they use new, stronger glass on the screens. Apple has evolved multi-touch into 3D touch, which is the same thing, but it's just calling the multi-touch interface.
I think that's patentable.
Right. Used by their Force Touch technology, they're just now calling it 3D Touch. It's not actually new. Different degrees of pressure perform different levels of operation, analogous to tap versus tap and hold. It uses vibrational feedback. In some ways, it performs the same functions of devices with wraparound screens like the Galaxy S6 Edge. It does look like there will be a bit of a learning curve. People, even in the demos, were complaining about they were trying to do one thing and ended up doing another, but again, that's just a learning curve. The chip jumps to A9 with the M9 motion processor that's built in for fitness trackers and stuff. That's always on, as in Hey Siri, for much better performance. The updated ID Touch is also faster. The new EyeSight camera bumps to 12 megapixels. How is that good? I mean, my camera, which costs half as much, is 16 megapixels.
Well, Apple's always been more about the processing in the chip and not the megapixel count. That the iPhone has consistently been one of the best cell phone cameras for pictures, even though the megapixel count has been lower than others.
Okay.
But now that there's more megapixels, you can zoom in even farther. So that's what was that one cell phone that had the 41 megapixels?
Right.
It wasn't that decent a picture, but at least you could zoom in a long way.
Right. It's theoretically faster and more accurate, and the focus is better. As expected, Apple rolled out 4K video. The FaceTime camera bumps up to 5 megapixels, and Apple uses the phone display as the flash with better white balance. The prices run the same or less than previous generation, but they're muddied because of the disappearance of two-year contracts. There's a new upgrade program, $32 a month for 24 months, which allows for a new iPhone every year, which, if you do the math, is pretty much the cost of a low-end iPhone. Apple TV gets its long-awaited update. It's had no significant changes since 2012, which is generations in streaming TV years. Price is 32 gig for $150, 64 gig for $200. The older Apple TV will remain for $69. Developers can get tvOS today. Apple TV will be available in November or not, we're now hearing. What's the Pro and iPad Pro? It's a high resolution, but at 5.6 megapixels, it's less than 4K capable. 12.9-inch screen, about the size of a MacBook Air, with full-size virtual keyboard, support for split screen, and other features in iOS 9. Sadly, many investors are not impressed with the evolution, not revolution, status of this rollout. Our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that would be bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Apple's latest announcements. And your choices are, they're insanely great, I'm impressed, meh, and I didn't even bother to check them out. So far, we've got 21 votes. Only one person thinks they're insanely great. Everybody else is either the big one is I didn't even bother to check them out, and below that is meh. And of course, you can vote in our poll. And when you're done, I know you'll have more to say about this. So you can scroll down on the right hand side until you see fascinating stuff. The very first choice is the forums. When you bring that up, you'll see that the second set of forums is the poll discussion. And the very first thing under poll discussions is 12 September 15, Apple's latest announcements. Which, did I misspell that? No, I don't think I did. And so far, there's two posts, but I know there will be much more to say.
But always. One other excuse me, side note. Somebody else that we all know here.
Hold on. So give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Sorry to jump in there.
That's okay. I wanted to make sure that got
out. Yep. An old friend of ours, Jim Tay.
Jim!
I happened to have breakfast with him this morning.
And he's not here?
No. He was in for a wedding.
Very nice.
And he definitely said to say hello to everybody. And
hi, Jim. Probably not listening.
Oh, yes. No. Matter of fact, he said he was going to. He's staying out at his folks' house out in Farmington. He was here, with his significant other and here for a wedding and in and out, you know, for the weekend.
How those things
kind of go. But he said, missed us and say hello to both you guys.
Well, it's a joy to hear from him. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. But this Apple thing, a lot of nice announcements, really nice announcements. The problem is, as I said at the end of the news story, investors not so impressed. Again, we're at that point where it's evolutionary, not revolutionary.
And buy on rumor and sell on news.
Exactly. And people are, any other computer company that put out that many announcements would at least get a holy cow, that's some nice stuff. Yeah. With Apple, it was like, where's my flying car?
Yeah, he didn't mention the Apple car.
Nobody mentioned the Apple car.
No, they did. There was some rumor about he was showing a tweet from someone about his new Apple Ride. And they made a joke about it. I've been reading a lot about that on the internet.
Yeah.
And it was a unicycle.
What Steve is alluding to is that Apple, along with Tesla and Google, and I think everybody, including Facebook, is talking about putting out self-driving cars. In fact, the other night on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, which apparently is the full name, Elon Musk, the owner, Uber, the guy who runs Uber, whose name I'm afraid I don't know off the top of my head, was talking about they would like to get into self-driving cars at some point. So the Uber car will just pull up to the curb. You can sit in it and it drives. That's just the whole concept of that
Johnny
is a little
cab.
Freaky. Yeah.
Yep. Well, actually, the new Tesla X that's supposed to be coming, that's supposed to be the cheap sedan for under $100,000.
Yeah, right.
It has this mode called autopilot, where a lot of cars now have active cruise control. So
right.
There's a radar beam, and if the car in front of you slows down, your car slows down too. Well, this one, they say autopilot, it will follow curves.
Oh, interesting.
And if you touch your turn signal, it will change the lane for you. And that's sort of what we've been reading about for years, is that self-driving cars could have been possible by now, but people are a little concerned about giving up control of the car they're in.
Right.
So it's coming piece by piece. You know, we have auto park now.
Right.
And we have...
And people love their auto park.
Yeah. Adaptive cruise control where, you know, it will slow down for you. And,
right.
And so the piece by piece...
And the little beepers that will tell you somebody's on your left, somebody's on your right. Yeah.
So we're getting close.
And we're getting there.
In another few years, we may even get more and more automation.
I personally would not mind at all to have a self-driving car.
Mm-hmm.
Let it do its thing. The other thing, of course, is for people with physical disabilities.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to just wheel up into the back of a van and say, you know, home, Jeeves.
Yeah. Well, and one of the interesting thoughts that I read is that it may change the way we purchase cars. You may not need to buy a car, especially if you live in a city. You know, you're used to, you know, taxis now, but, you know, a cross between Uber and Zipcar, where, you know, I rent a car, you know, for an hour, it takes me where I want to go and then drives off and does somebody else.
Right.
And then when I'm done, another one will come take me home again.
Well, and Elon, not Elon Musk, the guy from Uber was talking about how right now, if you're a taxi driver, it costs you $40,000 a year for the to become a member of a taxi company so that you can take out one of their cars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why not spend that $40,000 a year in your own car because you can't get a license?
Yeah.
And why does there have to be a driver in that car
mm-hmm.
when all you have to do is get to a curb and take somebody wherever they want to go?
Yeah.
If the car can already do that, why do we need a driver? And he said, you know, Uber is looking into that.
Mm-hmm. And when all the cars can talk to each other.
Right.
And so, you know, on your left, and then you won't pull out in front of them.
Right. And just imagine what it'll be like on roundabouts. Politeness.
Mm-hmm.
At four-way stops. Your turn.
Yeah.
Wow. That'll change the way America drives or doesn't drive or whatever. Okay, our first caller is Dave from Webster, New York, and Dave hung up. Sorry, Dave. Don't know what happened to you. Sorry. Call back. We'll be happy to talk to whoever is talking. We'll talk to anybody. That's not to say we're promiscuous, but in fact, we'll talk to anybody. Is pretty much how that works. Dave is on. Welcome, Dave. What's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Who came up?
I just got home, and I turned on my computer and the internet, and I have a pop-up from Apple Security. And I'm trying to figure out if it's a legit pop-up regarding a possible virus on my Apple MacBook Pro.
It is definitely not legitimate. There is no such thing called Apple Security. There aren't any Mac viruses lately. There have been some exploits and malware. What you got is a fake ad from a website, and they're getting more and more common. Because of the way the web works, it knows you're on a Mac, and it knows which message to display.
If you were using a PC, it would pop up something that said PC.
Although the stupider ones, we had a customer this week on their Mac, it said Microsoft Tech Support, and they called it.
Okay.
So the stupider.
They may have.
I'm saying the stupider bad guys don't bother checking, and they just show the message.
Right, and you may have Office.
Yeah.
You may have Microsoft Office.
I could have Microsoft Office.
You know, some other Microsoft product.
So what's happening is that the bad guys are buying ads on websites. There's an ad for diapers, an ad for tires, an ad that says you're infected with the virus, trying to trick you into calling them and giving them your credit card information. A lot of them want remote control of your computer to fix the problem, and then they root around for other personal information and credit card numbers and stuff. It's very frustrating. The worst of the ads will actually then install malicious software in your computer to show you even more ads. And that's weird. The camera. That's extra frustrating. So generally what you can do is just quit Safari, your browser, and reopen it. Unfortunately, Apple has a feature they claim to be useful. When you open an application, it reopens all the windows that you had open last time. So you may have to turn that feature off in your system preferences. But just quitting Safari, because a lot of times the message is in a dialog box. So you hit OK, and it opens up again.
Right.
Because it really, really wants you to fall for the trick.
Right.
So sometimes it's a trick between hitting OK and hitting quit fast enough, or you can just force quit Safari from the force quit menu. But yeah, it's generally
Splat Q, right?
Command Option Escape in the keyboard.
Ah, what happened to Splat Q?
Well, that's the regular quit.
Oh, that's regular quit.
Regular quit, yeah. Which should work as well. And it's just getting more and more frustrating. And a lot of times you don't even have to click on an ad. Just the act of displaying the ad in your web browser causes the code to run. It's very frustrating.
All right, did that answer your question?
Well, I'm not sure how to get rid of the
Hold on. We'll talk to you after the... Got to take a quick break. Stay on the line. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Dave from Webster U, Soundbites, a member supported Jazz 90.1, 1219.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we get back to Dave on the line, I want those of you watching us live on the YouTube stream have probably noticed we had a little issue with the cameras for a few minutes, kind of more fun than the actual show, but everything seems to have settled down now. All right, back to Dave. Sorry to break in on you like that, Dave. Go ahead.
Well, what I'm trying to figure out is how I can get rid of the pop-up ad that tells me I have a security alert.
Quit Safari.
And that's where I'm unable to follow the instructions because when I click on the Safari button and I scroll down to quit Safari, I can't do that. It's not in bold, dark print.
You probably have to okay the message first.
And how would I do that? Because there's no...
Oh, sometimes the messages fall off the bottom of the screen and you can't see the OK button. So
pressing enter ought to do it, right?
Sometimes. And if that doesn't work, you can go to the Apple menu and choose Force Quit and then force Safari to quit.
Okay. Force Quit.
And then pick Safari from the list and choose Force Quit.
I did that, yep. And I hit Force Quit. Do you want to force Safari to quit? Yes.
That's why I clicked the button, but it has to warn you.
Did that work?
So far, so good.
So far,
there
yep.
you go.
Okay.
All right, Dave, thanks.
Thank you, folks. Bye-bye.
Sure.
Yep, bye-bye. Yeah, Force Quit is a nice feature that not a lot of people actually know about.
Right.
One of the things that I do every time I get a new operating system is I look at all the menu choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean I remember them, but at least look at them and think, oh, this does this.
What
this
does
that
do?
Yeah.
And it used to be that all your commands were in the menus. Now a lot of companies are adding sub-menus.
Right.
And I think Microsoft started it with their button bar. Now you don't have menu commands as much as you have buttons.
Right.
And if you turn all the button bars on, there's no room left to actually type.
Well, ain't that the truth? All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Walworth, New York. Hi, Steve. Well, how are things in Walworth?
Hi, great. A little rain.
Really?
Yeah. I have two Windows 10 pop-up questions.
Sure.
I apologize if it's been asked before, but I didn't get a chance to listen to the whole show last week. The first question is, how do I get rid of the pop-up that says upgrade to Windows 10? I've searched the internet, and there's at least a half a dozen different solutions, and I was wondering what you would recommend. Some of them recommend going into the registry. Other ones recommend turning off updates.
You have to disable or uninstall the update that added it, but then Microsoft will just put it back in again later.
Yeah, I saw that. They give you the particular update that you can delete, but then it keeps coming back.
Right.
Right, and it always will.
Oh, every time I reboot the laptop on Windows 8.1, it comes up and I have to close it. It's just a little annoying.
Yes.
Yeah, and
yes, it is.
And it is just, and that's the point. They want you to upgrade to Windows 10. That's like that 6-year-old who wants ice cream. Mm. She's going to poke you in the leg and poke you in the leg and poke you in the leg until you give in. That's how it works. That's how 6-year-old works. That's how Microsoft works.
Well, I guess 7 and 8.1 are running okay for me, and I'm just a little bit leery, that's all.
Well, one of the things you can do is download it and don't install it.
Well that was my second question. I think on one of my laptop where I don't have a big hard drive, I think it already downloaded something, and I read that on the internet, did some looking, and it says it could be an 8 or 9 gig file, and it's already downloaded Windows 10. And yep. I searched for the file name that it said it might be, or the folder that it might be in, and I can't seem to find it yet.
Yeah, it's a hidden directory.
A hidden directory.
Yeah, so if you're not showing hidden directories, you won't see it. Here's the deal for everybody else so they understand what's going on. Microsoft really, really, really wants you to upgrade to Windows 10. They're sick and tired of every other version of Windows because Windows 10 will lead to subscription model, which is where they're really heading. So they really want you to upgrade to Windows 10, and the way they're doing that is by giving you a free upgrade for a year. Now, we still have, what, 6-8 months left on this free upgrade. So, 8 months. So, you really don't need to be in a hurry, but Microsoft is in a hurry. So, they keep nagging you like that six-year-old, poking you in the leg, poking you in the leg, poking you in the leg. And just to help you out, because they love you so much, they will download that entire 9-gig update. Well, it's actually between 3 and 6 gigs normally. Upgrade to your hard drive so that it's just waiting there for you to click OK. The problem with that, of course, is people who live in rural areas who are using not dial-up, but cellular service. They blow out their gigabyte data cap quickly. And people who have small hard drives suddenly notice a 10 or 15 or 20 or 50% of it is gone. Microsoft is starting to get into just a tiny bit of trouble about that. But there's really nothing you can do as an end user to make that stop happening because Microsoft controls the vertical and they control the horizontal.
So if I find it and delete it, they'll download it again.
Yeah, it'll just come back.
But, okay, I've got 29 gigs left in my hard drive. If I update it to Windows 10, will I get most of that?
Some of that back, yeah. You'll get that. You'll get that 6 or 8, 3. It's normally 3 to 6 gigs.
Okay.
So you'll get that back. It's not a huge. It's 10% of your disk space. That's pretty significant. So 10 to 20% of your disk space, right?
Right.
So that's pretty significant, but. For the people who now have, you know, terabyte hard drives and stuff, they probably didn't even notice it's there.
But we're going to SSDs now, and most computers with SSDs are smaller.
Yep.
You know, 256, maybe 512.
Yep.
Because they're so much more expensive.
Yep.
So now we're back to running out of disk space again.
Yeah.
Okay. And I just have one final question.
Sure.
I just thought of. I've been trying to load the Windows 10 IoT on my Raspberry Pi.
Yep.
Without using the Windows 10, and there's a bunch of directions on the internet, and I've tried several of them, and I haven't been successful. I'm just wondering if you guys knew of any particular site or anything where I could go for some additional hints. I'm trying to do it without having a PC with Windows 10 on it, and you know it tells you got to download this FFU file and use Python and stuff, and I think I'm getting hung up with. Using the command line function.
Yeah, it's not easy. It does have a it's certainly easier if you've already got Windows on a machine, but it is not an easy upgrade. It's not really designed for the average user yet.
Mm.
So you do have to know most of that stuff. There's no point and click yet.
Okay. Well, yeah. Thank you very much,
Sorry.
Gentlemen. You have a nice day.
You too. The same thing is true of Chromium, which is the open source version of the operating system that's in Chromebooks. You can download the open source version and install it on an old laptop, for example, but it's not easy. It's not point and click. You have to know a lot about a lot in order to do it right.
Mm-hmm. Back to the tinkering days that
exactly.
computers started at 30 years ago.
Exactly, but when you're done... you end up with a Chromebook that's essentially free because if you put it on an old laptop, you've had that for a dozen years. The Chromium operating system is free.
Yep.
So it's fun
to play
around with.
It's
right,
a win-win.
Right.
I mean,
if you want a free operating system that's easy to install, you go to Linux. That really is point and click.
Yeah. But you know, still in all though, it's getting use out of something that otherwise would probably just sit in the corner. And be totally useless. because I've got an old, you know, it's an old XP machine or that. Matter of fact, I just had to redo for a client, bring back Windows XP because he wanted to, you know, get it back on and just do some word processing. He goes, "Oh, wait a minute, I got to do it." And I says, "Well, just put OpenOffice on it, huh?" I said, "OpenOffice."
Yeah.
I says, and then you can send it to your other computer, which has Windows 10 and all that, and rich text format, and you're good to go.
Yep.
No biggie. Oh, that's a good idea.
I also pointed somebody at the at FreeDOS. It's actually essentially DOS 6.03, whichever was the last actual good one.
Yeah, 6.
It's called FreeDOS.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. I have an old laptop that's only got, you know, half a gig of RAM and a very small hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm playing with whether I'm going to put Damn Small Linux or Puppy Linux on it. And
play around with it? That.
Sure.
Why not?
Why not? Those are...
All those classic DOS games you wanted to play?
All those classic DOS games. FreeDOS will let you do all of that. You probably find an old version of WordPerfect. For it. Yeah. Text only. Yeah.
Oh, remember those days?
Jeez. I do remember those days. Those were the good old days.
And the M&Ms.
Yep. Yep. I remember you could go into it and change some of the features inside if you knew what you were doing. Mm-hmm. And I used to play around with it all the time. And I've told this story before, but I wrote to them. I said, you know, I have a brand new Epson printer, and it doesn't work. And about 2 days later, they sent me a thing back with a file attached and said, "Try this."
Uh-huh.
And it worked. They actually went out and bought the printer.
Oh, jeez.
And wrote a driver for it. They, you know, they were my friends for life after that.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to be said for good customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Which
you wonder about nowadays.
That's
a whole other story.
But and the Raspberry Pi, for those of you who don't know, you should really look it up, Raspberry Pi, and the 2 is out now. It's a little thing. It's a little breadboard about the size of a credit card that is a full computer. And it comes with a version of Linux, but you can now, there's a version of Windows 10 for the Internet of Things, IoT. That installs on it as well. And I can't imagine how slow that is and how painful it is. But I'm sure it actually runs. And so people are having fun with it. There's also a 7-inch touch display you can buy for it to turn the whole thing into a tablet. So a lot of pretty neat things you can do with stuff like that.
Did you ever see that on YouTube? And they had I think it was a demo of it, where, you know, you had like this wristband, and you touch it, and the screen comes down your wrist.
Yeah, I want that.
And you could sit there and touch the side of your arm, and you use it as a computer.
Yep.
Because it lights up your arm.
Right. It's a projector.
Yeah, it's a projector of your screen.
Right. The problem is, of course, you can't do it with a shirt on.
No.
Right, I mean, you pretty much have to do it on your bare arm, but it's a pretty cool toy.
Yeah, that looks so cool.
I'm waiting for the day they figure out how to do that stuff in thin air. There are displays now that will do that, but what they do is they throw a kind of water mist.
Oh, okay.
Into the air so that they can project laser the image, onto that. It's kind of like what you see at the falls.
Yep.
Right. So. You can do that, but to be able to actually just project it in midair, like they do in science
3D,
fiction.
Yeah, like in a lot of the movies, you see a 3D hologram.
Right.
Like we were just watching last night, iRobot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and how he sets it down, and all of a sudden this hologram comes up. But that would be so cool, though, to have one on your wrist. I mean, it's actually going
back. Well, they're bypassing that now. I mean, that's the whole point behind things like Google Now and Siri and Cortana, to be able to say, "Hey Siri, show me tomorrow's weather," or "Hey Siri, when's the ball game start?" or "Hey Siri, whatever it happens to be." That means you don't have to touch anything. You know, we all talk about buying a watch. a smart watch, but all you actually need is a microphone and a speaker on your wrist.
Yep. Well, I'm thinking way back, and a number of our listeners won't even know what the heck I'm referencing, is back in Dick Tracy.
Sure.
When he had a wristwatch that was a phone.
The two-way wrist radio.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know,
And they put the little thing up and then an arrow, a little sign, a little arrow to it. Two-way wrist radio.
Yeah.
And then later it was a two-way wrist TV.
Yes.
Never mind that. I want those little bullet-shaped or disc-shaped things they stood on and flew around on.
Oh,
That's what I want.
You know, seeing your T-shirt there reminded me of, you know, the Marvels and all the old comics and Dick Tracy.
Yep. My favorite sister-in-law sent me a birthday present.
So how young are you now?
I am 65 years old.
You can officially retire.
I am officially an old fart.
Now you can officially retire.
Oh, now I can retire. Okay, good. Good. I have already retired. Honestly, I should have done it 40 years ago. It's great.
It's that nagging kid that was going to college.
The day they stopped, because I was at RIT, she was at a reciprocal school, so there was a money transfer thing that happened there. The day that was over, that's when I retired. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 40 minutes after the hour. Call us, 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. It's Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. And I'm looking for something exciting to... Oh! According to the Wall Street Journal, Amazon is preparing a new 6-inch Fire tablet with an eye-poppingly low price of just $50. That's far less than anything it offers now. The current Fire HD 6 is $100, even when it drops the price during sales, usually to $80. The Fire HD includes ads to help lower the price, but it's unclear if this new device would also offer this bonus feature, although that's the way the smart money's betting. The Wall Street Journal report claims that while Amazon was able to cut costs enough on the Fire to reach the $50 price point, which CEO Jeff Bezos claims is crucial to reach a new customer segment, by outsourcing its development, it was unable to reach the same pricing for its Kindle e-reader thanks to its more expensive screen. That move to overseas development apparently ruffled feathers with the company's Lab 126 hardware unit, which has taken heat for the Amazon Fire smartphone flop and recently suffered a round of layoffs. That fiasco, along with disappointing sales of pricier Fire tablets, led Bezos to turn Amazon's device strategy towards cheaper hardware. The firm would lose bigger margins on the device's sales, but that would allow it to sell more goods. You lose money on every sale, but you make it up in volume, whether in the form of Prime membership, streaming services, or other digital media items. Of course, there are numerous cheap tablets that are priced at $50 or under, most with larger screens, available from third-tier vendors and in locations like drugstores. None has the market power of an Amazon, however, or the customer service reputation that might make buyers feel a little more comfortable purchasing such an inexpensive device. Amazon's down-market tactics would fly in the face of what could be an opposing strategy from Apple, which announced an iPad Pro with a larger screen and higher price tag to tap into the lucrative enterprise market. That could be because Apple is seeing its iPad mini sales dry up due to larger smartphones, a.k.a. phablets, which could be potential stumbling block for a 6-inch tablet. Then again, Amazon is likely looking to reach buyers that don't own such a phone and see tablets as a luxury item. According to the Wall Street Journal, it isn't planning to stop with the $50 6-inch Fire tablet, as the company plans to offer new 8-inch and 10-inch slates while killing off a proposed 14-inch tablet. The rumored gambit could boost sales for a once-hot tablet market that has stagnated over the past couple of years. It could also fail if the hardware is too cut-rate. For instance, it will come with a mono speaker rather than stereo speakers, or if the buyer segment Bezos hopes to reach is still resistant to tablets even at minimal price point. So would you purchase a $50 Amazon tablet? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. The tablet market has pretty much dried up. One of the problems Apple has been facing.
Yeah.
Right now, Apple makes the vast majority of its income from iPhones. We'll see how, you know, there's a guaranteed 10 million sales day one of the iPhone, new model iPhones. But already we're hearing the same thing we heard for the iPhone 5. It doesn't look different enough. Nobody's going to know I upgraded.
Well, that's what always happens with the S models. It's interchanges. It's not a case change. And that's sort of what's interesting with some of the new pricing. They have an upgrade plan where you get the new phone every year. But again, no one's going to know it's the new phone because it looks like, you know, the S version looks too much like the non-S version.
Well, it's just like going from the Galaxy 5 to the Galaxy 6.
Right. Yep.
There was, if anything, it was worse because, they made it a few millimeters thinner. And with that few millimeters thinner, you're now giving up battery life.
And you're also giving up the ability to change your battery.
Yeah. And I mean, to a lot of folks, that's huge, battery life.
Yeah.
I'd rather for a couple millimeters. I mean,
the thing I like about my 5 is I have the Galaxy S5.
Same here.
And I have a spare battery for it. If I'm going on a long trip, I can charge that up. You know, I've got a wireless charger, the wireless back on it, so I can wirelessly charge it. So it charges in the phone just while I'm sitting in the car while I'm sitting there. But what I like is that if I run out of battery, say in an airport or whatever, pop the back off, change the battery, pop the back on, my phone is working again.
Yep.
Done. I don't have to go wall crawling, searching for a plug.
Yeah.
Hanging out with the 700 other people who have their stuff plugged into a wall outlet somewhere. So that's a nice feature. And of course, the ability to stick in a micro SD chip to increase my storage capacity, which you also can't do on either the 6 or the 6X. iPhone.
Yeah, plus. But I've noticed with mine, both the phone charger and the white one that they give us, but the car one, and it charges it fast.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, you could just about, I've been down to maybe 30% and put it in the car charger while I'm traveling. And within 30 minutes, it's back up to full charge. Yep. It charges it really darn fast, as does the home one.
Yep.
And it doesn't take a very long time, and boom, right back up. I still like the 5 a lot.
Yeah, so do I. I'm not looking to change.
I guess the iPhones and everything else. I'm not seeing a lot new coming down the road or reading.
The thing about the iPhone is Apple is now in the same situation that Microsoft has always been in. If you don't buy a new phone, they don't make money.
Yeah.
So they have to come out with a new model. The problem is there isn't any new technology to put in them.
Yeah, exactly. What else can you... The only other thing that you could do is improve on the battery.
Right. And they're not going to do that because that means it isn't thin anymore, which is the most important thing to them.
And they're trying to figure out new ways to make the software do neat things. To give you something. But
then they have to artificially say we're not going to backport it.
Yeah.
And that's just going to make people angry.
Yeah. Yeah, the new peak and pop features require the force touch on it.
Right.
So you can touch it, you can press it, you can press it harder.
Right. And you're going to find people who are it's ridiculously clumsy at first.
Yeah.
At first. And people are going to get impatient with it.
Yep.
You know, and it really is just a matter of playing around with it and learning it and getting it.
Figuring it out,
But people are going to get really impatient with it for a while, I think.
The live photo, it sounds interesting. When you take a still photo, it automatically grabs a second and a half before and a second and a half after.
Right.
So that you can, it looks like you're animating your photo. It's still a photo, JPEG, but I got to think it's some weird new protocol format that other programs aren't going to be able to read yet.
Right.
So, they do say the Apple's own iPhoto program will read it, but you send that photo to somebody else, they probably don't get the other things. I'm thinking it's like a self-contained animated GIF.
Right. Well, what are their names? Google does that. If you take a series of pictures within, say, you know, you just click, 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 click. Google Photo has something called Auto Awesome. It not only saves the pictures, but it puts them together in an animated GIF.
Yeah.
Now, what that means is sometimes you've got people just going, because you took, you know, half a dozen pictures really quick.
Like we were doing earlier.
Right, exactly. What we were doing earlier on the YouTube channel. But often it's actually kind of fun. It's kind of an interesting thing. You know, if you click a bunch of pictures of somebody diving into a pool, it makes a kind of a movie of that person diving into the pool. It's very neat.
Yeah. So the new Apple feature, it does that with one click on one photo.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
All right, our next caller is Charlie from Henrietta, New York. Speak to me, Charlie.
Oh, hey, guys. How's it going?
Peachy, how are you?
Great. Okay, so here's my question. I have a kind of an older XPS, Dell XPS laptop. I think in its day it was a pretty good machine.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's probably about 5 or 6 years old. And I'm trying to use it for my son to play Minecraft.
Sure.
And what's happening is the laptop runs really, really, really hot, like really hot. And it seems like the fan is still working and all that. But what happens is it will just freeze, you know, after it seems to get hot, the whole thing will just freeze and, you know, I can't even do control alt delete or anything. It just completely freezes up on me.
Yeah,
so then I had a great idea. I figured, okay, let's I just forget Windows. Let me try to put Ubuntu on it. I was going to just wipe the whole thing and put Ubuntu on it.
Right.
And so that, when I go to the install there, it seems to, you know, comes up to the first screen, you know, do you just want to, like, try Ubuntu or do you want to install it over your old operating system? And I say, okay, install. And then even that hangs. So I'm just trying to figure out what do you think the problem is? Is it a bad motherboard or I don't know what's...
Well, there may be a couple of different problems going on here. In terms of it hanging, when a system overheats, it will freeze and shut down. It's supposed to shut down, but it will at least freeze. So we now need to just back up a step and fix the overheating problem. You're sure the fan is running?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't know if it has like an extra fan on the graphics card. Maybe that's not running. I know there is air coming out of it, but it gets so hot.
I
suspect that something's not running.
Well, and if it's an old enough computer, it could be full of dust too.
Yeah,
yeah, it could be full of dust.
Yeah, I did all that. I opened the thing and, you know, got compressed air and blew it all out.
Yeah,
it
but
was a
if that fan isn't working on the graphics card, that'll mess it up too.
Say again?
I don't know that laptops have fans on the graphics card, generally
sometimes.
Speaking.
Yeah. Sometimes they do. Depending, it depends on the manufacturer.
Or a pretty big heat sink.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What it sounds like is the thing is just, if you run it, if you just turn it on and run it, does it overheat? Not running Minecraft or anything
just
else
sitting
on
the desktop.
Yeah, just sitting on the desktop, it will overheat. But so it doesn't need to be. It's not related to Minecraft at all. But it will freeze, you know, in the Ubuntu install. Even if it's cool, you know, even if I turn it off for a long time, let it cool down, and it gets hung up on this Ubuntu install. I'm not sure if that's related. You know, it just seems strange that I can't even get past this certain step on the Ubuntu install. So I suspect something else is going on besides just a fan.
Okay, so here's what you need to do. First, check the vents. Make sure they're not covered with dust. Sounds like you did that.
Okay.
Turn off the system. Unplug the AC adapter. Remove the battery. Blow air into the vents there, and that'll remove some dust and debris. If you use a can of compressed air, make sure that, you know, you don't leave drips and blah, 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 right? Okay. Once it's all dry, put it all back together, press F12, reboot, press F12 to enter the boot menu.
Yep.
Go into diagnostics, and the system should begin the pre-boot system assessment, which is a series of embedded diagnostics. And watch that and see what happens and see if you get an error.
Okay.
Whatever happens once that comes back up, check the start the task manager. Right click on the taskbar, start the task manager, and click performance, and see what CPU usage is going on. You may have a bunch of stuff happening in the background.
Right. All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Good ideas.
Thanks. Have fun. Am I listening to music? Did I hear music start?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. I just thought I did.
Just in your head.
Yeah, I'm always hearing music in my head. Usually it's voices. Okay. Sometimes it's a mariachi band. I have no idea what I'm listening to at any time.
Okay.
That's exactly right. The 60s are always with me.
if you can remember the 60s, you weren't there.
You weren't there. Believe me. The thing about old laptops is, particularly if you update them to newer operating systems, they're not designed for that, and they will tend to overheat. You know, nobody overbuilds computers anymore.
Mm-mm.
So they build them really to the point where they'll work fine, but you push them a little farther than that, you got a problem. The other thing that Charlie should do is check to see that what's running in the background. You know, he could have a virus. He, you know, might need to dance security tango.
Mm-hmm.
You can temporarily help things along by blowing a fan on the computer.
Right.
But that's really a very temporary fix. But I would.
It's not solving the issue.
Right. So I would do the things that we already talked about. Or, you know, wait a few months and just leave it on the back porch and play it there. Bundle up and go sit in the minus 30 degree weather and play it, you know? at that point, you could probably overclock it and it would be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, the reality is that a lot of older laptops tend to start to overheat through that accumulation of dust. The problem is not just that there's dust in the fan or in the vents, but also that there's dust on the board. And that dust is a great insulator. So unless you actually open up the board and blow the dust off of that, you're never going to get the insulating dust out of the machine. All right, that music tells us you wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense. Luckily for you, you lucky person, you're going to get to do it all again in just another hour. So if you're on the line, please stay on the line. We will get to you after this extended break. If you're not on the line, why not? Give us a call. 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. It's Dave Enright, it's Steve Ray, it's me, Nick Francesco, and it's you at 59 minutes after the hour on Soundbites right here on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be talking to someone actually on the line in just a moment. Yes, our next caller is Walter from Greece, New York. Welcome, Walter. What's up?
Hello there, gentlemen. The fellow who was just on there with the laptop problem.
Charlie.
What happened, we had a similar problem. I was on a desktop, and what happened was we had several capacitors went bad on the motherboard. And I don't know if, remember not too long ago, there was that story about, I think it was Dell and a number of other companies that had purchased a load of crappy capacitors.
Yeah, that was about, believe it or not, 8 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, so again, I have no idea how long
it could happen. Could happen.
So, you know, that could be his problem, that if he's lucky to look at the motherboard, if he can, he might see them swollen or leaking. Because that's what ours did. It just froze up, and we were running Ubuntu.
Yep. And that's certainly a possibility, particularly with older laptops.
Yep.
Particularly Dell.
Yeah.
I have to be honest.
Apple had that problem for a while, too. A lot of the early white iMacs.
Yeah, I'm not saying because Dell's a bad company. I'm saying they bought, they're known to have bought a bunch of
bad. Well, especially big companies that, you know, I need to ship 50,000 computers a day, so give me 5 million capacitors.
Right. You might get a bad.
And if this other company's got them for 2 cents less, we're going to buy them.
You're going to buy them.
Yeah.
A quarter of a cent less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm also the guy who called you maybe about 2 weeks ago with a cell phone that could not boot. It just kept recycling.
The old flip phone.
The flip phone, right. And so what I did, I was able to get a micro Torx bit, open it up, got the motherboard out, and whatever I saw as a, I couldn't tell this which is the process or whatever else, but I took an awl and drove it through a number of these shiny modules, whatever you want to call them, knocked a few capacitors out or other things, and I'm ready to recycle it.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's pretty unlikely somebody's going to get the data out of it at that point.
Yeah, I have no idea which part it is, but I think I did enough damage.
Right, drill through enough chips and you're going to be safe.
Yeah, and can I just make one other comment?
Of course.
Like about older laptops?
Yeah.
I have an IBM ThinkPad 600X. That thing's got, last BIOS update was about like 1999, and I'm running Lubuntu. You know, the LXDE stripped-down version of Ubuntu?
Yes.
And that baby runs well. It's meant to run on a P2 processor. Mine is only 500 megahertz. Yeah. It's meant to run with 128 gig of RAM. And it moves pretty decently, I have to admit, for a stinking old machine. I've even put LibreOffice on the thing, VLC, I think it is, some other things, because I'm downloaded from, because it's the official Ubuntu software center. The stuff works. So if anybody really has an ancient thing, and like I said, mine is ancient from 1999, but last BIOS update, Ubuntu works. And I've got the latest version on there of the long-term care series, which is 14.02.
Yep. 1404, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
1404.2, I think it is.
Yep. Thanks, Walter.
You're welcome. Bye now.
Bye. Yeah, Ubuntu comes standard with a desktop called Unity. You can also get it with GNOME or KDE, but all three of those are high-end graphical desktops that tend to stress older hardware. But Lubuntu uses the LXDE desktop, and Xubuntu uses the XFCE desktop, and both of those are graphical but much lighter weight, so that on older hardware they work very, very nicely. So if you're looking to take an old system and rejuvenate it and make it useful again, Ubuntu or Xubuntu are probably your two best choices. Personally, I run Xubuntu on everything. It's speedy. It's ridiculously speedy. Mm-hmm.
It's a weird concept for Windows and Mac users who, that's the interface it is, and you don't change it.
Right. With Ubuntu, you can do anything you want.
Yep.
There are 50 different interfaces that you can use, but the two, the two most well-known that are also very lightweight and don't stress older hardware are both Xubuntu and Ubuntu. XFCE and LXDE, yeah. All right, our next caller is Dave from Bergen, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's up?
Hey there. I heard your discussion about Linux distros that run well on old machines.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to recommend Linux Lite. I've got an old Dell laptop. It's about 11 years old. And I put 2 gigabytes of RAM on it, and it runs beautiful with Linux Lite.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. You don't need as much RAM, you don't need as much hard disk space. It runs fast on slow, runs fine on slower processors.
Yeah.
That's great, and it's free and it's easy to use, and I don't see what their graphical front end is, but I'm...
It uses XFCE.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but it's just a wonderful distro. I mean, they keep coming out with their own, you know, utilities and stuff for it, and it just keeps getting better and better. A new version just came out this past week, I think.
Nice.
So it runs great on really old machines. I'm actually surprised. You know, for XFCE, it's not real lightweight, you know, like open box or something, but it still runs great on this ancient laptop.
Nice. I'm going to check it out. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So runs great on old machines.
Yeah, it needs a 700 megahertz processor.
Right. Right. And yeah, as you can see, it doesn't need much to run. And this is what we see all the time. People say, oh, I've got an old laptop. I've got an old desktop. I don't know what to do with it because I can't run Windows 10 on it. Well, you don't always have to run Windows. If you're looking to bring life back to an old machine, Linux is an awfully good choice to do something like that. Our next caller, Rich, from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Rich. What's up?
Hello, Nick. I'm still pulling my hair out. If you remember last Sunday night, I kind of talked to you a little bit about this on Second Life. My laptop, which I've downloaded Windows 10 onto, will not connect to the internet or show me any adapters for the in the program. It's not allowing me to see any of my wireless connections. I've done everything from try to update the drivers to updating some other things, and still no network connections at all, but it says everything is working fine with the wireless connections or the drivers for the wireless connection.
Yeah, I can't exactly remember what we talked about doing last week, but I think we were talking about making sure that IPv4 and IPv6 were enabled.
I did, and I can't find that anywhere to say it, but I think it's enabled. Because I can't see any of the adapters to know that it's in the adapter.
Right. So it's not. So have you gone to the manufacturer's website for your hardware?
Yes, I have.
And they don't have any Windows 10 drivers?
They have some driver BIOS-type stuff, but nothing for networking.
Well, certainly the BIOS. It may need a BIOS update.
Well, does I saw something in there when I was looking at it to the respect of network stacking or something to that respect.
Sure.
That was enabled, but not all the way enabled. I don't know. I didn't know if that had something to do with it.
Well, Mike, the network stack is just another name for the stuff that lets the network work.
Okay. Now, and I tried enabling all that stuff and restarting the computer and everything else, and still no adapters or no seeing any networks.
Okay. What it sounds like, well, do any of the BIOS updates say they're specifically for Windows 10?
It was in a Windows 10. When I did the drop-down menu for you to pick your your thing, it was Windows 10 64-bit.
Yeah. Okay, then I would do that update. Certainly, updating the BIOS is never a bad idea when you're talking about particularly older hardware. But I would do that update and see if that makes them magically appear. It may well be that something that Windows 10 looks for simply had no need for it in Windows 7, and it just doesn't show up.
Right. And I when this all started and everything else, I had, you know, went back to Windows 8.1, and everything was working fine. I tried to download again just to see if maybe it was a bad download or something like that, and right back to the same situation.
That was the next thing I was going to ask. Is there a way you can figure out that it actually is working? So
yeah, because I went back and everything was fine. You know, everything was fine.
Yeah, you have 7 days to go back.
I'm coming close. I'm coming close.
Yeah.
Since I've downloaded it again or whatever. So
right. Well, I would definitely do that BIOS upgrade and see what it does. That would be the next step I would take.
Okay. All right. Well, I will keep trying.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank
you. Have a good day.
You too. Don't forget, you can all join us in Second Life. We're there at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Linden Time. All you have to do is log in, send an in-world message to Neil Infinity, N-I-H-I-L, Infinity, and I will give you a teleport over to us. And we sit and we discuss, well, everything. We talk about movies, we talk about life, we talk about computers. If you've got a computer question, we'll answer it there. So we spend an hour having fun every Sunday night in Second Life. Please feel free to join us if you're a member, and if you're not, it's free.
Yeah, really.
And it's just one more place to get questions answered and to connect with computer people. But yeah, getting back, we're hearing a lot about old computers. We're hearing a lot about upgrades to Windows 10.
I've had a number of calls. Well, you know, I had that one that got stuck in limbo right. In between, couldn't go back, couldn't go forward. But I've had a number of folks, though, a lot of their accounting software, banking software, and everything else just isn't working right. Same with larger screens. I had another friend who has a very large, like 30-inch screen, and the drivers won't work correctly with it. He has to unplug it, plug it back in, and reset it every time he shuts it down because he goes, well, I went and they got the drivers, and they say it's set. And when I wrote them back, they said, well, I don't know what your problem is. And I guess kind of blew them off. Yeah, right. But it's definitely all due to Windows 10. And we've warned folks that you're going to be able, you know, you want to wait a little bit because not all the bugs have worked out of Windows 10. You know,
there's already been four updates.
All the other software packages haven't been tested.
Right.
So there is still no compelling reason. Just because you see that warning and your nagging reminder, upgrade to Windows 10, you've got a year. You've got plenty of time.
And you've still got, what, 7 months?
Yeah. I think? Wait, tell you what. Don't even think about it until after the first of the year.
Right.
Ignore that Windows 10 update until after the first of the year.
Keep clicking it off.
Just click it off, and then you know what? Once the new year starts, we'll have maybe, hopefully, some better things resolved on it, right. And that they won't be an issue for you.
One thing for Rich and other people who are having trouble with the internet connections, check to see if the networking card in your computer is a Realtek gigabit Ethernet card. If it is, you definitely need a driver update. That definitely is a driver which simply does not work with Windows 10, but there is an updated driver that will fix that.
And it may not be from the computer manufacturer. You have to go to Realtek,
right?
The Ethernet manufacturer.
Right. So, like we said, you know, Windows 10 isn't necessarily quite ready yet for prime time. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 19 minutes after the hour. Give us a call, 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be back with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Herzog from Rochester, New York on the line. Hi there. What's up?
Hi. I have been listening.
Thank you.
I have tried Ubuntu for the last 7-8 years. I have so many multiple problems, but the one that I can address best is the one that just happened. I gave up on all my Ubuntu stuff and bought a new computer loaded with Ubuntu from Dell. And this was a major enterprise because it was like buying marijuana or a gun off the market. They just will not admit to, you know, like, my God, have we sold you one of them? We're going to, without Windows on, we're going to lose all our licensing.
Well, here's the problem. They pay Microsoft for every machine that goes out the door, whether it has Windows on it or not. So when you buy a machine with Ubuntu, they feel like they're losing money because they spent money for a Windows license they didn't actually use.
That was just the introduction to my story. I did get this, and I paid the $30 extra for the Microsoft to not be on the machine.
Right.
Because that was why I was buying it, to have nothing. The Windows, the Ubuntu 14.4 that they put on worked very nice. The reason I was buying it is because my previous Dell one, nobody was smart enough to tell me how to get the drivers to work. And after 2 years of screwing around with that, I gave up for sound, the sound drivers.
All right.
Back to the story. It worked fine until I update. And then things went really screwy, in my mind. It loads and puts out all kinds of stuff on the screen and says all the timings are wrong and everything like that. And then, as the fellow said before, it locks up. And you then have no choice except to push the off button and try again. It will go through that. I went through about five cycles, three different times. Then I get disgusted and say, well, there's more to life, so I watch TV for an hour or two. And then I say, well, I'm going to bed. I'll give it one more shot. And both times, the one more shot, it comes up and works fine.
Interesting.
And then I take some more updates, and that's increased the odds to now, after two more updates, it only does it twice of at most of the running up and showing all the stuff that's wrong in every step along the way.
Right.
And then it works nice, except I have no faith in it.
So when you
kind of thing.
To level set for everybody else, under certain versions of Linux, when you boot it up, it shows you a diagnostic screen as it's booting up where it loads all the various pieces and parts and says, okay, or fail or warning or something else.
Windows and Mac hide those screens.
Windows and Mac hide those screens, but Linux, being the operating system that it is, shows them to you.
Well, sometimes they do. When it doesn't work and it hangs up, then they show them to me.
Right, right.
When it works, they don't see it.
So what that's telling us is that there's something not quite 100% correct. So as you're watching those, do you see something that says fail or warning?
Oh, God, there's full of them.
It's full of them.
Yep.
Okay.
There's less of them each time I've tried this.
Right. What it sounds...
And I keep taking the updates, like I think they're finding them.
Yeah.
You're not dead in the water until you can't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. One of the things that you can do, there's two log files that hold boot log issues. One is under /var/log/boot.log, and the other is under /var/log/d/dmessage, which is DMESG. And so I would, if I were you, I would look at both of those. You may need to do that as under sudo, sudo, as opposed to normally. But you should be able to look at both of those, and they will tell you what failed and what didn't fail, which is the start to finding out how to fix everything.
Yeah.
Right. That's gone beyond me already, though.
Well, it's not hard to do. All you have to do is say cat, or rather, probably better to say less, L-E-S-S, space, /var/log/boot.log. And that will print out a screen at a time, the boot log. And what you should see is something very similar to what you see scrolling by on the screen. And you can search that for failed or warning or whatever you want to see, and that will help.
The man page for less defines it as the opposite of more.
Yes. More and less actually do pretty much the same thing. Less theoretically does it better.
Every time I've been trying to get Ubuntu and stuff going since 2007, I bought a machine with that on then and worked a while. So it's an unending quest. I'm 80 years old, and I'm just too tired of it all. My answer was to buy this new machine and say, okay, I got three others that I've tried that don't work. It's a $300 machine. The damn thing is working, which amazes me, except for this little delay. And it just is the same delay as this other guy has. So, and how much should I talk? I got two other problems.
Well, before we move on, you should probably go to lugor.org, L-U-G-O-R.
L-U-G-O-R.
Yeah.
.org. That's the Linux User Group of Rochester.
Right.
They meet every month, although they're their homepage is not only up to date but is in the future. It
the
appears
October
to be
meeting.
Their October meeting, which will meet in September. and I was meeting today, as a matter of fact. Ta-da. Basically you can Oh, no, I see it. They put it up today. It's about October. So you can go to their meeting, which will be held at Lollipop Farm at 6:30 p.m., and you can bring your laptop, and people will help you right there. The Linux people, I have to say, are... And that's not to say that they're not great at the Apple meetings and the PC meetings, but in particular, the Linux people know that it's all about hands-on. And they will get there and help you and do stuff and talk about things. Often the actual meeting part is over the head of a beginner. But in terms of people helping you get your machine set up, there's always somebody willing to do that. So I would suggest that you make plans to go to the meeting in October. It'll be October 22nd at Lollipop Farm. And I want to thank Charles for actually putting that up well today. So that's nice. Meeting starts, like I said, at 6:30. That's networking, so bring your machine and talk to people. They are the friendliest, nicest people you'll meet. Does that make sense?
Yes, my encounters with them have been very good.
There you go.
And utterly amazed at the couple problems they have solved.
Yeah, go there and talk to them about it. I'm sure that they have...
My problem now is it's too damn hard to walk. You think you're a cripple, but you don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, I get that. I do get that. I don't know what to tell you about that part, but, you know, going once and making the contacts will give you people you can call and talk to. And
well, that's... See, the problem is I can cart around a laptop, but I can't cart around the other ones very well.
No.
I used to put them in a grocery cart and bring them to the things.
Right. You could at least get the laptop looked at and maybe make contact with somebody about coming to your home, although I'm certainly making no promises that somebody will do that.
Oh, I have tried. I've offered money to guys, and that's where I said, well, hell, I put in $300 taking it to Microtech, trying to get Vinix installed on a computer.
Right.
You know what Vinix is?
I know of it.
Well, it's meant for blind people.
Right.
And it's good, except there had been a terrible confusion that happened with it. It was worked fine, and then you could take updates and get by. Well, all of a sudden, updates screwed things up. So they said, don't take any updates anymore. And then after a couple of years, it says, okay, now you can take updates. Well, I paid these guys to put it on, $100, and got it on, and it worked fine until updates.
Right.
All of a sudden, you have to have a password. Didn't have to have a password before, or if there was, he put it as the password was a simple one, like password.
Right.
And that doesn't work anymore. And so I'm locked out of it, and it's due to the updates. And another time I...
Herzog, I'm sorry, but really all I can suggest at this point is heading out to that meeting, and I kind of have to go on to other calls.
Okay, I thought these were instructive. Never mind.
Okay.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you. Sure. Let us know what happens. See if you can at least check out somebody at the meeting.
Yeah, since Linux isn't a mainstream OS, it's hard to find commercial companies that support it. And
right,
so your best
right.
bet is the users group.
I absolutely agree with that. But again, from the Ubuntu, from the Lugor user group, you should be able to make contact with somebody who can do something to help him. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is James from Rochester, New York. Welcome, James. What's up?
I was trying to get on the Wi-Fi at Tim Hortons, which about a month ago I was able to do. And then last week I went with the same laptop and I wasn't able to connect. Is there something I should check or troubleshoot for that?
Well, I've not gotten on the Wi-Fi at Tim Hortons, so I don't know if you need a specific password.
You may. Can you connect at other places?
I connected a month before at the same Tim Hortons.
Right, but you can connect at home or whatever.
Oh, yeah. The laptop is fine. Something about IPv4 and 5 or something?
Well, IPv4 and IPV6, but what it sounds like is did you have a password when you logged in the last time?
I don't remember.
Well, many places do have a password, and
them if I need a password.
Right, because they may have changed it.
Okay. Everything works fine. Yeah. I can't remember if I asked them last time, but if I don't need a password, is there something to troubleshoot or check?
Well, it wouldn't be at your end if you're able to log on everywhere else.
Yes.
And you can't log in at Tim Hortons. It's either a password issue, or as Steve said, theirs may have been down that day.
Oh, okay.
That happens too. But it's likely not an issue with you, particularly if you can log in everywhere else, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
That's the way to troubleshoot that sort of thing. We see it a lot. We all depend on being able to go out and do stuff. But often enough... the problem is not at your end.
And it's awful hard at a restaurant because they don't know anything about technology or IT. And
right.
I just, can I go in and just reboot your router, please?
Oh, I cannot tell you the number of times I've asked that question. Let me just reboot your router. That's all I'm asking to do. I'm not going to change any settings. I don't want your login password like they have one.
Yeah.
All I really want to do is reboot your router. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jack from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Jack. What's up?
Hi. I have somebody working on a computer for me, a rebuilt computer.
Yeah.
And I was told that the power supply is the issue.
Okay.
So I'm checking in to see. I checked online to find the specific kind of power supply that this rebuilt kind of beefed up computer has,
right.
But I can't seem to find the same exact power supply. There's one similar to it, but the model letters are different. So I guess my main question is, I don't know. Hold on, buddy. I don't know I don't know if the model number would make a huge difference with fixing
the
actual computer.
Well, it can. So what is the model number of the one you have?
It's a Roseville Extreme RX 950. S is in Sam, B is in boy.
Yeah.
But the one that's on sale is a D is in David, B is in boy.
Sometimes they don't make that power supply anymore. It's been replaced by a newer model. Usually, just the wattage and the pin connectors, whether it's the 20 pin or 24 pin, are the issues that you generally need.
So the wattage is exactly the same on the one that I took out as the one that's being sold on eBay and is refurbished on eBay. I can't seem to find anyone that's selling it new.
Right. The SB does seem to be out of stock at the couple places I'm looking at, so it may well be that they have been replaced and replaced by another model. And in fact, on Roseville's own site,
Hold on, buddy.
What you need to do? What is your the person who's been working on your machine say?
I asked about that. Hold on. I'm sorry, my son is loud. I asked about that, and it was kind of like I'm not 100% sure. I think it would be okay.
Well, if all the connectors are right and the wattage is not less, then likely it should be fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And to check the return policy if it doesn't work.
Right. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 40 minutes after the hour, Soundbites member supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Mike from Caledonia on the line. Welcome, Mike. What's up?
All right, thank you. I downloaded all my CDs onto my computer and then downloaded them to an external hard drive. And I just started playing with Google Music Manager to put them into their cloud, so then I can access them on my phone or wherever. The problem is that as I upload the music, every so many songs, it just stopped. And I've talked to Google about it, and they said they think it's the connection between my USB and computer timing out. And I'm wondering,
certainly
is there
possible.
Any way to prevent that?
Load them from the internal drive, not the external.
Well, unfortunately, I deleted them all off the internal drive.
Well, you can load them back onto the internal drive, of course.
Yeah, I could. I know.
It is certainly possible that it is that. Also possible that whoever your internet service provider is unhappy with the way you're doing that and is popping you off for a second, just cutting that connection for a moment.
Oh, really?
Sure.
I let it go all through the night sometimes, and it goes for so many, you know, maybe a couple hundred songs, and then I come back down the next morning, and it stops.
Right.
And I noticed now, while I was waiting to talk to you, as it stops, because I can see it stop once in a while, if I click on the mouse, it seems like it wakes it up and it starts again.
Yeah, see what
could be the computer going to sleep.
It could be the computer going to sleep, exactly. Now, try this. Turn off your sleep.
Okay, well, this is a Linux system, and I did that, and it, you know, I assume I did it. I mean, I stopped the screensaver from coming on, so the screen just stayed on all the time.
Right, but there's also, in the power settings, you can also let it power down the hard drive. You can also let it put the motherboard to sleep so that it wakes if something needs to be done. There's all kinds of... Linux, of course, considering you can do so much, it lets you do so much. So
the only thing I see is automatic suspend, which is off, and when battery power is critical, it says to power off, but it's not doesn't have anything to do with the battery because it's a desktop.
Right. In fact, you don't have
to change.
So if you can set the battery thing to never, that would probably be a good idea.
If it is a USB problem, you could try a different USB port.
Try a different USB port. Try loading a bunch of the music onto your hard drive. But if it happens at the same time, like after 4 hours or after 8 hours, then I have to agree with Steve. There's something still set up that says power down or go to sleep or whatever after a certain amount of time. And if there is nothing on your machine, it could be your internet service provider. But the first thing to do is to eliminate the USB drive as an issue, which means load a bunch of the songs back onto your hard drive. And I realize that takes up a lot of your space, but you're not going to leave them there.
Right.
So load a bunch of stuff back up onto your hard drive and, you know, maybe 4 or 5 times what you normally get to upload before it stops, and then just let it go from there. See what happens.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Because I'll tell you, I did the same thing. I loaded some. I only loaded about 15,000 songs up to Google Music, and there was never a glitch, never a stop, never a problem. Of course, I'm on Greenlight, so it is likely my experience was different from yours. But even so, it isn't. It very likely is not the Google end.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, that's what they said. I mean, they've been pretty good talking to me back and forth, and they got frustrated and said it's got to be your connection between the USB and the computer timing out.
And that is certainly a possibility.
Yeah.
That's why
well,
that first
I do know my upload speed is below one.
Well, yeah, for most people
I'm using
it will be.
Frontier, but I'm out in the country, so I'm stuck with it.
Well, and that may be part of the issue. Frontier, like I said, may be saying there seems to be something wrong with this, in quotes, because it's on all the time. Something is uploading all
right,
the time.
Right.
Right. So. Maybe we should probably shut this down for a while and see what happens.
Yeah, then my next call, because even my download speed is like 0.19.
Right.
And 0.08 is the upload. So I got to call them. There's a problem with the internet somewhere here as well. But this has been going on for over a week. I've gotten not quite 4,000 songs uploaded in a week.
I know. That's the only frustrating part to me about Google Music, is getting the music up there in the first place.
Right. Yeah, it seems like a good service. I mean, it's been nice to travel wherever I am and, you know, listen to music over my phone.
Yep.
It's been great.
Yeah, right, I well, do it all the help. Time. All right, thank you so much. Good luck. Let us know. Google Music is very like any of the other music services that are out there. You put your music into the cloud, and the way they manage all that music being up there is they actually only ever upload one copy of a song. So if Steve and I both have, the same polka album, only one, Steve's already uploaded it, I really just get pointers to it. So, but it's still, you get all your music, and they often will have deals with musicians to let you listen to other songs that are similar. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Chris from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Chris. What's up?
I have an iPad, and recently we were with Time Warner with our TV, the internet, and our phone. Recently we changed the phone to Verizon, and now we don't have the internet on our iPad. Do you know what would...
But you have a computer that still works.
I don't have a computer. I just have an iPad.
Okay, the first thing you need to do is call Time Warner, because they have a box that they put in when they give you TV and internet and phone. And it's a big black square box.
Right.
If they disconnected that box and turned it off, you also lost your TV and internet. Now, if you still have your TV, they may have made a mistake and turned off both phone and internet. So you need to call them first.
I think you missed. She used to have Time Warner. Now she has Frontier. So she's,
No, the other way. She's got Verizon.
Verizon, right. So,
but is Verizon just for your phone, or is it also for your internet and TV?
It's just for the phone.
Right.
Okay. They have Time Warner for the TV.
Yep.
And
right. So what may have happened is that they accidentally turned off too much. So your first call should be to them and explain to them what happened and what the problem is, and they should be able to fix that for you fairly quickly. They may ask for the serial number of that big black box. And that should be on a sticker on the back. But beyond that, they should be able to solve that problem for you. You may have to plug that in. If they actually unplugged it, that may be the whole problem right there. Plug that back in, see if it starts right up.
Are the lights on and blinking?
Right.
Time Warner did not come, and Verizon did not come.
They don't have to.
But they gave us a little contraption that sits next to the iPad that my husband was instructed how to turn it on, plug it in, whatever he had to do to it.
Right.
So
it may be,
but Time Warner, would it seem likely that we should call Verizon?
Well, I would if the only thing you're getting from Verizon is phone, and you kept TV and internet from Time Warner, what it sounds like happened is they just turned off too much.
When they turned off the Time Warner phone, they accidentally turned off the Time Warner internet.
Yeah, and they don't have to come out to your house to do that.
Right.
They can do that from a central office.
Right.
Oh, okay, I see.
So yeah. That's why I would call them first and explain to them what happened and have them look to see if they have somehow accidentally turned off your internet as well.
Okay. All right, thank you so much.
Good luck. Let us know what happens.
We have some similar things happen. We'll install a new cable modem for a customer, and then we have to tell Time Warner that we got our own modem now.
Right, and give them the serial number. And
they'll accidentally turn off phone when they turn off the internet on their modem.
You know, the reality is, it's just a bunch of checkboxes. They click the checkboxes on or off. How many times have you clicked the wrong checkbox?
And the crazy thing is, sometimes I call Time Warner 5 minutes and we're up. The other day, it was 35 minutes to do the... I want that first technician's direct phone line.
Yeah.
type, and okay, you're up. Thanks, good.
Yeah. I had... we all have those issues, I'm afraid. Well... That music tells me you've wasted 2 solid hours of your life with this nonsense. But it's a rainy Saturday afternoon, so why not? I want to thank everyone who called in. I apologize to those to whom we did not get. Really, seriously, don't wait to call at the last minute. Call earlier and more often. We are done for a week, but don't go away, because George is going to come in and play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to hopefully... cut him off from the internet or the radio if he needs to. And we'll be back next Saturday with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known and unknown universe. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great. And don't forget, solely member supported Jazz 90.1. See you in just 166 hours. Have fun.